Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov.
Hello, Counter Stories listeners. We have been doing this show in various formats for 10 years. In those 10 years, it has always been the four of us, Lee Lee, Luz Maria Frias, Anthony Galloway, and Don Eubanks. In March of this year, Don passed away. He was our friend, our mentor, our family member, and he will be greatly missed. In the weeks to come, as we take time to grieve, mend, and reflect on Don's life and his immense impact throughout the state, we will be re-airing some of Don's favorite episodes and topics. Welcome to Counter Stories, a program by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Halee Lee, owner of The Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers, and Counter Stories producer.
And I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate at Dendros Group.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, former Attorney General and happily retired or semi-retired, working on some fun stuff and happy to be here and join life.
And our usual host, Anthony Galloway, couldn't join us today, wasn't feeling good. So we hope you're feeling better, Anthony, and we'll see you next week. We do have two really exciting guests joining us this week, and I'll have you each introduce yourselves. We'll start with you, Representative.
Great. Thanks, Lee. Hi, everyone. This is Representative Liz Lee from St. Paul's East Side. I am the first woman to ever represent this district in the history of the state, which is a little crazy. But I guess, 2023 is better late than never. And also, grateful to be the first Asian person to represent this district that is also one of the highest Asian populations in the state. And our census tracts in the district have the highest concentration of Hmong folks in the entire country. And so as a Hmong person, really honored to be that person for the East Side and for St. Paul and for the state.
We're so happy to have you join us. And Vanessa?
Yes, I'm Vanessa Young, and I am the director and co-founder of 30,000 Feet, well, director of programs. And again, I am so happy to be in community with you all in this conversation. Thanks so much for inviting us. And yeah, looking forward to keep chatting with y'all. Let's get it.
All right. This has been a topic we've talked about a lot on, trying to get a conversation going and who would be the right people to have speaking on this. And I think we found the right people to be talking about this topic with us. We recently did our 2023 legislative wrap-up session, wrap-up mini-series. And during the 2023 session, Representative Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a education finance bill passed that was streamlining computer science education. And then this year you're introducing a new bill. And can you tell us about that new bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lee. So as folks may recall, last year we had a big surplus. And so the legislature took that and reinvested that back into our communities. One of the ways was our big education funding bill, right? So I had a really small piece. I had a bill that would start this process of streamlining computer science across all the schools in Minnesota. So we got $1 million for the Department of Education to hire like a CS expert to help school districts across the state and to also form a working group that would bring in diverse voices who are parents, students, teachers, business industry leaders, and folks interested in making sure that our kids get computer science. So my bill passed last year to form that. That working group was tasked with putting together a state plan for Minnesota. And so they released a draft report in February. And so the bill this year is to fund the plan that they laid out for us.
Representative Lee, I was taken aback as I was reading some of the material that our producer, Halee, had sent to us. And in that, I saw these statistics that really had me, I guess, taken aback, for lack of a better word, which is that only 12% of high school students in the urban area have access to computer science within their school system, 12%. But more than twice of that percentage in the rural areas. So 25%, right? And then 18% in suburban areas. I mean, that goes against kind of the intuitive understanding and expectation that we would have. So can you help us understand those numbers and whether you were surprised by those statistics as I was?
Yes, absolutely. We're on the same page. And I love that you're asking that to start out with, because it's really counterintuitive of what you would expect, right? Because everyone expects kids in the big city to be learning like the latest thing. And so, I asked Vanessa to join today because, she has this nonprofit that is working to address that need. It is true that like across the state, there have been kind of like patches where like nonprofits have stepped in, or I went to Central High School and, I was really lucky that we had teachers there who were supported by a principal who said, hey, yes, you can teach a couple of computer science courses and we'll put it in the course catalog and, students can do that. So there are kind of like these one-off programs at schools where, principals get it and they're supportive, or in, places like Hermantown where, again, interested teachers said, hey, we're going to teach this. There's also, some of like the big companies in Minnesota who said, hey, we're going to start, some after-school programs that we're going to fund. So what you're getting at is right now, there's all sorts of stuff going on and it isn't consistent across the state. I was also really surprised about that like rural urban kind of disparity. The goal of this bill is to make sure that, regardless of whether you're like in Mankato or Moorhead or Minneapolis, you have an equal opportunity to learn about computer science. And so our emphasis is like foundational computer science from K through 12. And that means like even when you're kindergarten, thinking about patterns and understanding and building those foundations for coding later. Getting at your specific statistic, I asked the Department of Education about that. And a little bit of that is like wonky technical stuff in the way that course catalogs for high school classes are listed. Right now, schools across the state are really inconsistent in how they publish the courses they offer. There's a course catalog that the department would like all those schools to report the classes that they offer students in, but there isn't a uniform way of doing that. And so right now, the data gathering piece is also a big issue, right? Schools can fax in their course catalog, they can call it in, or they can email it in. And so MDE said, that disparity might also just be that, there are certain schools maybe in rural areas that are better at reporting their data than schools in urban areas. So two-part answer where it's a weird technicality in the data reporting, but also it just reveals kind of like the inconsistencies in like how computer science is being offered and taught across the state.
And the need that we have in the urban area, right? Which is where Vanessa comes in.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So Vanessa, your organization, 30,000 Feet, supported this bill. And how does what this bill is trying to accomplish, how does that affect your work that you're doing? And tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Yeah. So the work that we do is really targeted towards youth in underrepresented areas of the tech industry, right? And so we work really hard to collaborate with schools. We make sure that students who, particularly students who have no idea what job they want to do when they grow up, just have exposure to a range of different opportunities in the tech industry, showing them different companies, different opportunities at companies, equipping them with certification, things of that nature so that they can have that exposure. We're missing a lot of faces of color and brains of color in the tech industry. And so that's been one of our biggest challenges is doing that education in the communities. We need them in some of our tech industry because a lot of young people that we serve in particular have not a lot of opportunities to leave poverty, right? A lot of the jobs that are in our communities are, really stuck, poverty-stricken jobs, right? And those jobs are becoming automated.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Clay Lee with co-host Luz Maria Frias and the late Donald Eubanks, and special guests Representative Liz Lee and Vanessa Young. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
You know, Vanessa, when I was looking at the metrics for your organization, I was struck by all the incredible things that you're doing as an organization, but also that this goes beyond, it appears your impact on the students' lives go beyond the technical substantive content that you're teaching them by way of increasing school attendance, right? So they're definitely being more engaged now than they were prior to your involvement, right? A 52% decrease in suspension rates and 64% increase in GPA, you know, and really engaging them. Can you speak more about how, what your approach is and how that begins to really see the full child, you know, I would say, rather than just being linear with some of the instruction that may be offered elsewhere?
You know, we know that it's very important to have a holistic approach to the work that we're doing with our students, especially because there's so much trauma and there are so many things that that are built up against them that cause them to not be successful. And so we do a very intentional job of doing case management for each of those students and regular check-ins with them to ensure that they are indeed on track for graduation. We try and just be as responsive to the needs that we see of the students and then help them to meet that goal.
Representative Lee, when I looked at the bill and I looked at those numbers, I interpreted them slightly different. It said 12% of high schools, right? 18% of high schools and 28% of high schools. So that means that the percentage of students who are actually getting in those classes are lower than 12%, 18%, and 25%. Would that be a correct assumption from that?
That's right. And because they're percentages, I'm extrapolating. But because we only have course catalogs or like data for high schools and the courses, that's what we're basing it off of. But yeah, it is high schools, and then that is a proxy for the students they serve.
And I'm assuming that those classes generally are set up as electives, correct?
Yeah, that is the concern. So right now, though, in the Minnesota standards, you could take a computer science course, and I think it can apply for like a math credit because students are required to take a certain amount of credits, right, to graduate. But the goal here is to say, computer science is important enough, like English or math. We're working towards having its own standard, and we're working towards making sure teachers are licensed to teach those standards.
Right. So, for an old fogey like me, you know, who tries very hard to kind of understand this discussion around STEM, which didn't exist when we were in school, and or just even the area of computer science. A lot of youth and others are on social media. They use this technology, and I'm sure the youth are on TikTok and all these other social platforms. So what we're essentially trying to do is to get them not only because they use the technology, but what you're trying to do is to get them to understand how to create that technology, correct? And I think sometimes that helps people in understanding what this is about, because it's one thing to use it. And we have many in our community that don't have access to this. You know, I still hear stories that they're, you know, not all schools have computers or iPads for all students to be able to use. So there's that issue. But then trying to switch them from just being a user to being a creator, I think is something totally different, and I commend your work in that area.
Yes, thanks so much, Donald. I love this conversation. That is exactly the goal, right? And I think what's really important is, you know, we have to understand, like, Black Twitter, Black users are what made Twitter what it is, right? And so, you know, our kids are the people who are like making these like tech products like what they are. And so I want to empower like our kids to create the next Twitter, right? Or the next Facebook, because they don't have to just be consumers, you know, they have to be innovators and builders. And, you know, for me, the important piece is equity, but what does that mean, right? That means they don't just have to be consumers, they can be creators, and they can make money off this, right? We know tech jobs pay better, and right, these are the jobs that are mm-hmm. going to be well-paying in the future. So, you know, that's why we all kind of have to have a foundational exposure and foundational access. And that's not the case right now, right? I mean, the other piece, and I love that you talked about this too, is when I talk about this in committee, I always say, I was really lucky when I was in kindergarten to be exposed to computers. You know, we had a parent from 3M who took time to just, you know, hang out with us and show us computers. And we used the 5-inch floppy disks to, you know, hold on to data and memory. But today, right, like 25 years later, we have websites, right, to upload and download things. And so, you know, for me, like in my lifetime, tech has changed so much. And that's why, you know, even if like kids don't become like the next tech entrepreneur, mm-hmm. it is going to be really critical for whatever jobs they have in like 10, 20 years, right, to have this foundational mm-hmm. base. So mm-hmm. I love this, love the conversation, and love, you know, just the way you're thinking about this. You're exactly right.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Hui Lee with co-host Luz Maria Frias and the late Donald Eubanks, and special guests Representative Liz Lee and Vanessa Young. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
I was fortunate enough to go to summer school and learn what they called computer programming. Back in, 1971, 72, just kind of dated myself. And we learned basic Fortran on what looked like a typewriter. And our computer actually was a printout sheet. And the computer, while we were in St. Paul, the computer was housed in downtown Minneapolis. So that, you know, things have changed tremendously since that time, correct? I mean, I'm not even sure they even use that language anymore. And even my father had the opportunity to become a computer technician for controlled data back in the 60s. He was one of the few Black men to complete their class and actually become a computer technician. So I've had that opportunity to be able to see someone in my family do something like that. So I find this very exciting, these kind of opportunities. And I, you know, one would hope that we can convince our youth that this is an excellent opportunity and a great field to go into, because the potential is unlimited. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They can help some of the issues that we have, where we have technology that tracks our face but doesn't do so well on people of color, right? We hear those mm-hmm. issues all
That's
the time.
Right.
And those are day-to-day applications that they have the opportunity to impact positively across the board.
I think when I was younger, we really wanted to get into doing this. We got one computer for our whole family, right? And there's 8 kids, and so we would have to take turns. And then when one of my sisters who got a degree in computer science, and she's now a UX designer, she would go to school and to college to code and learn to code, and she'd come home and teach the rest of us, because we wanted to learn how to code and make websites. And that was our only access to it, was like one of our sisters got a scholarship to go to school and learn how to do it and to teach us, you know. And nowadays, oh God, now I dated myself, geez. Sometimes when I talk with my nieces and nephews about it, they assume like, well, you know, it's TikTok, it's Instagram, it's already there. I don't need to learn all this other stuff. I mean, how do we talk to those kids? Because they know it makes money, but they're like, I'm going to be a YouTube star, or, you know, I'm just going to create a channel. I mean, I'm sure you hear that a lot in the work that you guys are doing.
We hear that from our youth all the time when it's time to talk about career exploration and diving into those things. And one of the things that we do with our older students, and we're a part of this really cool collaboration on the east side of St. Paul called the Exchange Partnership. One of the things that a tool that we are about to introduce to our students allows students to to dream about, okay, I want to have this type of car, this type of, you know, apartment, et cetera, et cetera. What type of career do I need to do that, right? And so we give them then this list of options of the different types of careers. Then we say, hey, these are the skills that you have, or these are the things that you're interested in. So let's see if we can apply that into that said career track. Because the tech, I'm like, we need you guys, you know, to not only disrupt poverty for yourselves, but generational poverty has to end by way of the work that you're doing, right? And we have these type of conversations with our students as well. We currently have placed about 10 interns at Health Partners. And Health Partners was first a little bit reluctant to bring in youth into their internship program because traditionally it was designed for college students. And college students who are computer science majors, right? And those faces didn't look like our faces that much, right? and so I shared with our students that level of knowledge, right? So that they know that you have a duty now to pioneer space into places like this, right? They were like, I'm going to update my LinkedIn. I'm going to do this. I'm like, I didn't even tell you, but that's what I'm talking about, right? Where they have that sense of community in them, right? I think that's what really helps a lot of our communities propel forward, is that we have this sense of we want to put on for our communities, right? Because we've struggled and suffered for so long that if I get this little bit of knowledge, right? Like you were saying, Lee, I'm going to make sure I give it back. I'm going to get this so that I can give it back, right? That's how I ended up in this particular role, is I always was like, I just want to be a good example for my nieces. Tech is literally taking over, right? So many jobs. And the reason is because, you know, lots of folks want to be more efficient. We want more time to do other things than be working 12-hour work days, right? People want to have a full life. Right. And tech has become one of those things that allowed us to be able to have a meeting from our backyard, sipping a cup of tea. Right. Mm-hmm. It's because of these kind of tech innovations.
You know, Vanessa, you said so much and shared so much with us. That's so valuable. I love how you begin to dissect what the dream might be for the children and then give them an idea, a pathway of how to get there, right? And what they would need to do academically, but also socially to be able to get there. You know, so many times folks can't connect the dots because they haven't seen it. You know, as Maren Wright Ellman says, if you can't see it, you can't dream it. I'm really interested in some information that you shared with us during this conversation earlier with regard of Minnesota being one of 31 tech hubs that's been federally recognized and designated by the U.S. for medical technology and industry. And as a result of that, there's going to be an infusion of tens of millions of dollars into our economy. So help us understand how your program can tap into that, but also Representative Lee, how you see your legislation also connecting to that as well.
Out of all of the tech companies, the one that was really kind of ready to take that next step was a medical Health Partners, of all people. We didn't think that would be the first place where we would place some tech interns. Right. Mm-hmm. But that just speaks so much volumes to how tech is integrated into so many spaces. Budget is always a issue sometimes. Well, budget is an issue for companies who are doing something new that's different, that they don't, you know, it's a gamble. And so this allows them not to have to gamble. Representative Lee and I talked about how can we create more of a kind of ecosystem with schools, businesses, community organizations, youth, and their families. And this, I think, funds would help us to be able to start working together to innovate together, right? That's one of the things that we absolutely are like stoked about.
It's a workforce issue, and that's why this is so important. Often our kids see influencers and they think like that is like a tech job, mm-hmm. right? But you know, there are tech jobs in agriculture, in healthcare, in you know, areas that are new and emerging, because again, our world is just changing so fast that you know, all these new jobs are popping up, right? And we don't have enough people to fill them because partially like they're not qualified or they haven't learned or they haven't been retrained. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get this, address this issue from like a holistic perspective, right? And again, from a foundational perspective, Minnesota is great because we already are kind of like a biotech hub, right? We know that. And so this federal designation is important. It's like icing on the cake for, you know, greater partnerships and for, you know, more capital to flow through. Like it's nice to get a little gold star just saying what we've been doing here with a lot of our companies and even smaller companies, right? You know, is now being recognized on a federal level by the president. And hopefully will, you know, again, spur more economic development. But one really interesting piece that I've learned in this process is that for a lot of like the big companies here in Minnesota, it is really hard to recruit people to come and move mm-hmm. here. Not this spring, but typically, you know, it's a really hard sell to have people come and move to like sub-zero temperatures. But the cool piece is, you know, Minnesota kids, they graduate from high school and they go to our colleges because we actually have one of the highest per capita rates of like colleges and universities. So our kids graduate from high school and they stay in Minnesota. And they go to college here and their families here. So they never have to move. And so, you know, for a lot of the companies, like this is really good for them because we're training Minnesota students who are homegrown and they'll enter these jobs and they'll stay here, right? So, you know, a lot of these Fortune 500s don't have to waste money recruiting and, you know, trying to convince people from the East Coast to move to what are usually really cold temperatures.
We should definitely be putting all those efforts to our own kids instead of, you know, poaching some child from LA to come do the work here. It was so great to have the both of you on the show and just kind of scratching the surface of STEM and STEAM and what we can do with it. And I'm excited about the addition of the A in the arts in STEM into STEAM. So thank you both for taking time to be with us today. I'm Halili, owner of The Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers and Counter Stories producer.
I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate at Dendros Group.
To our listeners, if you have an opportunity to hire one of these students, reach out to Vanessa, 30,000 feet. I'm Luz Maria Frias, former Deputy Attorney General and living life as a semi-quasi-retired person, having fun.
And our very special guests.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for the lovely conversation. I love sharing ideas and really just thinking about how we can prepare our youth for the future. And, you know, so grateful to be in community and part of this conversation. Again, this is Rep. Liz Lee from St. Paul's East Side in District 67A, and grateful to be trying to equal the playing field and streamline computer science for all of our kids in Minnesota. Thanks.
I'm Vanessa Young, the Director of Programs and Policy at 30,000 Feet. Also the co-founder here at 30,000 Feet. I am so humbled and want to express my gratitude for you all hosting an excellent conversation and providing us with a platform to share. We really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much again for having us.
This has been Counter Stories. What's on your mind? Let us know and find us online at counterstories.com and on Facebook and Instagram. Counter Stories is a co-production of the Counter Stories crew and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, visit counterstories.com or wherever you get your podcasts.